Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.
Today we're talking about the American chestnut trees in Mississippi. Hello, I'm Amy Taylor Byers, and welcome to Farm and Family. Today we're speaking with Dr. Randy Russo, Mississippi State University Extension Hardwood Specialist. So Randy, today we want to discuss the possible restoration of American chestnut trees in Mississippi. And today we hear about the restoration of longleaf pine along the Gulf Coast areas, but I haven't heard anything concerning the restoration of the American chestnut. Could you explain the difference for me?
Well, Amy, you're right about longleaf pine. The reasoning behind longleaf pine restoration is primarily that it was displaced by choice in that faster-growing loblolly pine gained favor with the timber industry and thus with the landowners as well. The American chestnut is a totally different story. This species was once a reigning monarch of the eastern hardwood forest stretching from the upper Atlantic coastal plain into the Appalachian Mountains and down into Mississippi. It maintained its lofty status because it could outcompete any other forest tree species for resources and was capable of growing to extremely large sizes. It was not uncommon to find the species with diameters measured in feet rather than in inches that we do today, with heights soaring well over 100 feet. The wood from the tree is fairly light but strong and easy to work, extremely durable. Chestnut wood was used to make furniture, shingles, siding, telephone poles, and fence posts. It was also very good for outdoor uses due to the large amount of extractives in the wood that kept it from rotting. In addition, the tree produced nuts, which were prized for consumption not only by wildlife but humans as well. But in 1904, a fungus from Asia was inadvertently introduced into New York. This fungus, known as the chestnut blight, spread rapidly throughout the range that covered over 200 million acres, and in less than 50 years, it resulted in the death of over 200 million chestnut trees.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. Now, is the American chestnut extinct?
Now, the species is not extinct yet because the blight killed the tree all the way to the ground, but the stump in the root system remained alive and continues to resprout every time it dies back. The resprouts grow for a short period, contract the disease, and then die back to the ground again. However, it has been stated this resprouting can only take place a limited number of times for the root system having the ability to resprout. By most estimates, this time frame will take less than 80 to 100 years. Thus, time is running out for us very quickly.
What steps have been taken to counteract this blight?
Well, there's been considerable work starting with the U.S. Forest Service and then the formation of the American Chestnut Foundation in the mid-1980s. Breeding efforts combining American and Chinese chestnuts began in the 1920s. But was shut down later in the 1960s due to inability really to find any resistant hybrid to the blight. In the 1980s, under supervision of the American Chestnut Foundation, breeding was restarted again. This effort benefited from the previous research and breeding, but strived to develop parents of both species that were blight resistant. The effort was to have a much larger component of American chestnut. In addition, the American Chestnut Foundation believes in regional adaptability, even though the genetic variability within a species seems not to be as great as typically one would thought. But trees from Mississippi would have a greater adaptability to Mississippi rather than those from Maine. Today, the newest methodology combines both breeding and biotechnology to focus on the development of more resistant and adaptable trees.
Okay, Randy, so what are you proposing for Mississippi State University?
Well, the first step we need to do is to locate as many trees as we can throughout the state. And this involves landowners as well and getting the word out to landowners. Leaf samples will then be taken to provide us a DNA fingerprint of each tree so that we can determine the percentage of either American or Chinese chestnut in each tree. These individuals are determined to be 100% American chestnut. Then we will actually start building populations with that material and looking at the difference of genetic variability. In addition, the pure American chestnut trees will be grafted and placed in a clonal breeding orchard, hopefully somewhere around Mississippi State University and form our Mississippi breeding program. We will also examine gene insertions or biotechnology to determine the viability of the various genotypes.
Today we've been speaking with Randy Russo, hardwood specialist. I'm Amy Taylor Myers, and this has been Farm and Family. Have a great day.
Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.